Welcome to Mind Food Radio, Smart Thinking with Michael McHugh and Ben Starr.
And welcome aboard Mind Food Radio, Smart Thinking. How are you, Michael?
Very good. How's your week been?
Yeah, very, very busy. It's always like that these days, isn't it?
It sure
I'm trying
is.
To de-stress. Rhonda Stewart's CD really did put me to sleep the other night. Subconsciously, I learned something.
Well, today we've also got Rhonda back, actually, and she's going to be talking about super learning and problem solving. So I tell you what, people love our CDs, so it'll be great to hear from Rhonda. We've also, of course, got Christine Snow. She's the National Education Manager for True Solutions, and she's talking all about the new technology in beauty products and skincare.
And of course, if you'd like to win a prize, jump onto mindfood.com. This is Mind Food Radio Smart Thinking. Keep with us, lots of great interviews coming up today.
Mind Food Magazine and Mind Food Radio. Together, smart thinking.
Well, it's now time for our Snow White of skincare. I tell you what, Christine certainly knows her stuff.
Well, we got such amazing response last week, and I love the fact she broke down, you know, in a very easy to understand five tips for anti-aging.
Always use a cleanser, moisturizer, sunscreen, even in winter.
Look at you. I've written it down,
specialty products.
You were listening.
And I don't wear makeup, but if you do wear makeup, it's mineral makeup, Skulls.
Actually, for our listeners, remember we interviewed some weeks ago Miranda Bond, who created Anika.
That actually
is the perfect makeup because that's organic and mineral. So for more details,
you can jump onto mindfood.com.
That's right. But because that went so well, we've invited Christine back. Hi, Christine.
Hello, how are you?
Very good. Now, listen, this week I thought we'd talk about new technology.
Oh, there's so much new technology happening out there.
Well, it just seems to be, I know you're so close to it.
Yeah.
And being the education manager for True Solutions and also sort of, I guess, educating all those beauty therapists out there, you know your stuff.
Yes.
For us here in a studio, when you start talking about, you know, AHAs and light therapy and all that, we really haven't got a clue.
Michael walked in with a laser today. I thought, what's that all about?
So tell us, where's it all going?
Well, it's actually getting less invasive. Skincare, in terms of, say, machinery, for example, is becoming less invasive, it's becoming safer, and it's delivering fantastic results. And it's opening itself up to a much wider audience, so more people have the benefit of, you know, the results that they can achieve.
Mm. Men are really getting into this whole thing about looking after their skin and their bodies. You know, what type of treatments are out there for them? I know a lot of guys go on about their backs and they get their backs waxed, but what can they do to get around that?
Well, something that is really, really popular with men is actually the light therapy. And the reason for that is that a lot of men don't necessarily feel comfortable with a lot of creams. They will use them to a degree, but they don't have necessarily the routine or the discipline for, you know, an everyday routine.
Yeah.
And they'll go in and have a course of light therapy. It's relaxing after work, and it delivers good results. And by light therapy, we're actually talking lights that come from the visible light spectrum, or what we call near-infrared. So we're not thinking any more of, you know, you mentioned laser or IPL machines that actually cause destruction on the skin, which isn't a bad thing short term. They cause destruction, then they help the skin to repair, and as it repairs, more collagen is produced.
Right.
But with other light therapy sources, they actually trick the skin into thinking that there's been a wound or there's been damage, and you get that same collagen moisture building response mechanism, which results in healthier skin, younger looking skin. Mm. And it's used today even for wound healing, for you know, after people have had operations, to heal the scarring more quickly. So it really is something that's really growing rapidly.
What other technologies are out there?
Other technologies that I'm sure everyone's hearing about are peptides. Peptides are cropping up in every ad you have a look at. There's some form of peptide. And basically, peptides, they're power-packed, and they're proven to successfully treat a variety of skin concerns. And they really are a buzzword because they work. They generate results, and they help your skin to look younger.
Where do you think new technology is going to go, you know, in terms of cosmetic and skincare?
Well, where it's already going at the moment is what we call bioengineered technology. So, you know, we were talking last time about not only protecting the skin from aging, but reversing the aging process. And so what scientists are doing now, they're looking at the skin, and they're not just saying, well, how do we stop that from happening? They're saying, we know that as we age, that's inevitably going to happen. So what can we do to help stop it, you know, prevent it in the first place?
Yeah.
And that really is the future in skincare. And already we're seeing a few things slipping through that are doing that.
Christine Snow, National Education Manager at True Solutions, thank you for being on the show. As always, it's so interesting talking with you, and I guess, you know, the future of skincare is very exciting.
It is very, very exciting, and it's, you know, worth doing your own research at home and being part of it.
I like the idea of light therapy. Michael, there's not those type of lights. I tell you, stage lighting. He thinks it's the same thing. And of course, for more details, go on to mindfood.com.
This is Mind Food Radio, smart thinking.
Well, Still Quiet Place, mindfulness practices for children and adolescents. Dr. Amy Saltzman joins us on the line, Michael.
She also is a holistic physician working with adults. So it's a really interesting job, I guess she has.
Very interesting.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Amy.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what's it like working with kids and adolescents when it comes to mindfulness?
It's actually very enjoyable and very inspiring.
Is mindfulness like centering yourself? Can you give us a description of what mindfulness is?
When I teach to children and adolescents, I define mindfulness as paying attention here and now, so our attention's not in the future or in the past, and then choosing our behavior. So when I teach to children, first they learn to attend to the breath, and then their thoughts and their feelings and their bodies, and ultimately to choosing their behavior, particularly in difficult circumstances.
And what is it about mindfulness that makes it something that we should be aware of? You know, like, tell our listeners why we need to be more mindful, I guess.
It decreases anxiety. It increases executive function, which is planning and impulse control.
Mm-hmm.
With teens, we know that it decreases anxiety and depression, and we're starting to look at things like emotional regulation and emotional intelligence.
But all these thoughts and feelings today that young adolescents are coming to you with must be very interesting in the digital world when there's so much online stuff that they're doing. It's a very different world.
Yes, and it's interesting because often that world is sped up, and mindfulness helps people slow down and choose, you know, do I really want to send this text? Do I really want to post this particular comment or image on Facebook?
Mm.
And you can put a pause in there and allow people to choose their behavior.
For our listeners listening in today, they might be sitting at home or at work or driving in the car and thinking to themselves, this is all great. What are three things that they could do today to sort of take control of their life?
I would say three things that they could do today are to pick one activity to do mindfully, so perhaps brushing your teeth. So when you're brushing your teeth, try and have your full awareness on brushing your teeth, unscrewing the cap, squeezing the toothpaste, the movement of your hand, the taste of the toothpaste, the action of spitting. And probably what they'll notice is that in the process of brushing their teeth, their mind will wander, and then they can notice what it wanders to. And over time, they'll probably notice some themes and habits as far as the mind wandering and their emotions go. And I think for adults who are listening, one of the simplest practices I can offer is what I call the three breath practice. So one breath, when you know that notice that something's up or that things aren't going quite as well as you would like in your kitchen, you can take one breath for you just to notice what's happening with you, one breath for your children to notice what's happening with them. Maybe they're hungry or tired or, you know, have had an upsetting event at school, and then one breath for now what? So how to respond to them in the moment. I do have a friend who took my parenting course not once but three times, who said, you know, three breaths often isn't enough, so you can repeat this. You can repeat this as necessary.
Yeah.
But those would be my basic suggestions.
Fantastic. Well, look, thank you very much for joining us today on the program, and I know you would have helped a lot of people. Dr. Amy Saltzman, holistic physician and mindfulness instructor. Very interesting topic, Michael.
Very interesting. And, you know, I know a lot of it sounds like common sense, but it's, again, that message of being in the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It's not about floating off, thinking about something else, wishing you were doing something else, wishing you had, you know, a different life or whatever.
Yeah.
It's about being in the moment.
Thanks for centering us today. Well, Lindy Milan is one of Australia's most recognised food, wine and lifestyle personalities with a career spanning over 25 years and a fabulous TV show. Lindy, welcome to Mind Food Radio with Michael and Ben.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me. It's a great pleasure to talk to you.
Lindy, your TV show was absolutely beautiful, that Taste of Greece. There were moments in there that, I don't know, it was just beautiful watching, you know, that relationship between mother and son.
Thank you. Blair was the most wonderful co-host. And, you know, it all happened quite by accident because we hadn't conceived it like that. We had conceived it. I was going to go and do the show with a good friend who's a Greek-Australian.
Yeah.
And in the end, he wasn't able to come. It was about 6 weeks out, and we were all set to go. And it was my partner's best friend who'd seen Blair perform a lot because he was always a bit of a star at the Short and Sweet Festival. And he said, "You've got to take Blair."
Yeah.
And
it was a natural fit.
Yeah, I don't know if we would have thought of it.
Now, Lindy, for those listeners that don't know the story of you and Blair, just tell us what happened to Blair.
Right, okay. Well, Blair was 29. He was very fit and healthy. He made conscious choice to be happy every day of his life. He worked out. He ate healthy food. He didn't drink from Sunday to Thursday. He started, in hindsight, in March. He was not feeling well and he was short of breath. He was told he had impacted wisdom teeth, and until he had them removed, he wouldn't get better. He had them removed, and he was sort of making a kind of a slow recovery, but as it turns out, Blair had acute myeloid leukemia. He finally went to a doctor who gave him a blood test. I have to say, previous doctors had not given him a blood test, which would have shown it. So he went into intensive care. I was in Europe, obviously. His father was there. His father happened to be in Sydney that day, which is fantastic because he lived in the Southern Highlands, so his father was with him the whole time. And we got back on the Saturday morning, and Blair passed away on the Sunday at 1 a.m.
Lindy, just hearing that story, and for parents that have lost children, what was that experience like for you? Because you obviously...
Well, it's not what it was like, it's what it is like.
Yeah.
Because you're in a state of shock is all I can say. And then I had a funeral to organise. Blair died intestate. That's still going on. I can't get his medical records from Medicare until I've got probate on the will, which is ridiculous. So it's still ongoing. You know, I had to clear out his apartment.
Yeah.
But I think as the reality sets in, it gets worse. It doesn't get better.
So when you look at A Taste of Greece, how does that make you feel?
Well, when it went to air... Because it started in May and ended in July last year, and I haven't watched it since then. We watched it live every night and always had people around watching it. To me, it was great. I know some people couldn't watch it, but to me, he was still alive and he was really vibrant. I'm not sure how I'll go this time.
Yeah.
You know, I really, really don't know.
But just the two of you together, it was fantastic.
Look, Blair handled me magnificently. He was always loving and respectful, but he could put me back in my box. And John, my partner, loves the way Blair would say, "Yes, Mum." And you knew exactly what he meant. And Taste of Greece is being repeated on SBS from the end of the month. And they're trying it. It's going to be on a Sunday night, which is a little unusual for SBS, but we're actually hoping that's going to go well for us, 6 o'clock on a Sunday night.
I'm sure it will. And the exciting thing, too, is that program's been sold around the world. So, Lindy, thank you so much. I know in speaking with you today, you would have helped many people out there, and you do wonderful work, and your food's always delicious. So, well done.
Oh, look, thank you very much. And it's actually Sunday, the 1st of April. But listen, thank you to you, and congratulations on getting a new show up.
Thanks, Lindy. And of course, for more information on Taste of Greece and anything else we're talking about, go to
mindfood.com.
Mind Food Radio, smart thinking with Michael McHugh and Ben Starr.
It's Mind Food Radio. How are you, Michael?
Very good. How are you today, Ben?
Very well. Off to the United States we go.
We sure are. And I'd like to welcome to the show today James Doty, or Professor James Doty. He's a professor of neurosurgery and the founder and director of the Center for Compassion and Altruism Research and Education at Stanford University. Welcome, Professor.
Wonderful to be with you today.
Compassion's an interesting word, isn't it?
It is, but, you know, if you really think about it and think of what defines our humanity... It is that word that really defines our humanity, I think.
How did you develop compassion, though? Because I imagine in the early days you might have been quite resentful.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because I think that happens to a lot of people. You know, when you feel helpless and have despair and a feeling of hopelessness, it's certainly not an unusual feeling to be angry at everyone, and also, especially for children, to somehow blame yourself. I was very fortunate because when I was 13, I walked into a magic shop, and I know this may sound very strange to you, but the owner wasn't there, but his mother was there. And after talking to me for about 15 or 20 minutes, she said to me, "I can teach you something that will change your life if you come here every day and spend an hour or two with me for the next 6 weeks." And I did. And that experience, which was training me in, if you will, mindfulness and visualization and to some extent the power of positive thinking, actually changed my perception from that of a sense of hopelessness and having no possibilities to really understanding that I had endless possibilities.
That happened to you when you were 13. Do you think people, you know, ingrained adults that are perhaps a little bitter and twisted through their journey of life, do you think they can have that miraculous change?
Are you talking about yourself now, or
that's it sounds it doesn't that's it? A great way of that's a typical doctor response.
I'm not really, but
well, don't older you know adults say they're jaded? They become very jaded by things.
That's correct. I mean, certainly one could sit there, and especially with what we see on the news, where you know, of course, what sells news is bad news. But the reality is most people are good, and our world would not exist as it is unless the vast, vast majority of people are good. And I will tell you that whether you're 13 or whether you're 90, every one of us has the ability to redeem ourselves and to change ourselves. And with fairly simple training, you can train yourself, if you will, to be happier and to be more compassionate. The question you might ask, though, is what is the return on investment or the ROI on being compassionate? Because why would you do it otherwise? But science has borne out that people who care for others receive as much benefit as they give.
How important, though, is compassion linked to faith and spirituality? Because there seems to be sort of a theme with all that type of thing.
It's interesting you say that, because oftentimes we think of compassion associated with religious practice. And in fact, essentially every religion has at its core compassion. People invariably say to me, "Well, Jim, geez, you must be highly religious. You must be a Buddhist." And the reality is, though, I'm an atheist. But what I do believe is what the Dalai Lama says, that my religion is kindness. And if you simply practice kindness every day, that's the thing that you need.
Professor James Doty, thank you very much for being on the show today. Great thinking, and I look forward to meeting you at Mind and Its Potential, the show that's on between the 29th and the 30th of October at the Sydney Exhibition Centre. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Mind Food Magazine and Mind Food Radio. Together, smart thinking.
As per usual, we have lots of interesting segments, and Cindy O'Meara is joining us again today. Autoimmune diseases. Very interesting topic.
But welcome to the show, Cindy.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Michael.
I'm not a hypochondriac, am I?
No, not at all.
Autoimmune diseases. They're the biggest killer, you were saying.
Well, yeah, it's an underlying cause for many diseases. And you know, type 1 diabetes was always thought to be a genetic disorder, but we now know it's not. It's actually an autoimmune disease, which means the body eats the beta cells on the pancreas so that the beta cells don't work anymore and you don't make insulin. And we're finding this with a lot of diseases, that Hashimoto's and Graves and even some gallbladder diseases, myocarditis, liver inflammation, dementia, Alzheimer's, all seem to be linked with the body eating itself because it's lost its intelligence. And so we've got to go back to, well, what is the root cause? Why has the body lost its intelligence? And often it is we eat a particular food, and that food is seen as an enemy to the body. So the body gets the army and it says, right, let's destroy this particular food. It's not doing a good job for us. Let's get the army in. But then you eat that food for breakfast, morning tea, lunch, mm-hmm. afternoon tea, dinner, evening, and you do this for a decade, 2 decades. So the body says, well, I'm going to get the army and the navy and the air force and the marines, and let's just destroy anything that looks like this food.
Right.
And a lot of our foods look like protein. Mm-hmm. And our body is made up of protein. So let's just say one of the problems at the moment is gluten, because we do eat it for breakfast, morning tea, lunch, afternoon tea, dinner, etc. So let's just say it's gluten, and let's say gluten has a protein strand that is, say, AABCD.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then when the body just gets the army in and it destroys it, that's it. But when you're eating it for a decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, and all the armed forces go out, it starts looking for protein strands that are AABCD. And that protein strand, depending on your lifestyle and what's happened in the past, may attack the thyroid, and that's Hashimoto's and Graves. May attack the heart, and that's myocarditis. May attack the brain, and that's dementia and Alzheimer's. So when we take away the offending food, then the body stops eating itself. It calms the immune system down and it stops eating itself.
So most people, what you're saying is, don't realize they're even eating this stuff, and the body's just having an attack on itself, you know, all the time. And then all of a sudden, then you end up with these types of diseases.
Yes.
How do you know, though, what you should be eating? Can your blood test tell you that type of stuff?
Yes, you can have blood tests for it, but you can also do protocols. And I do protocols to help people find out what foods affect them. So
yeah.
what we basically do is we do an elimination diet. I just put them on the basics: meat, fish, chicken, lots of greens, a couple of fruits, and we just eat that for about 3 weeks. And I have a whole protocol behind this. Then we challenge the body. And the older you are, the more the body will tell you.
Oh, really?
Because Yeah. Like, I find 20-year-olds, they struggle with this, but 50-year-olds or 40-year-olds, they can do this, and they go, it's like a no-brainer. They stop aching, or they're not stressed as much, or their anxiety goes down, or their weight stops fluctuating.
Michael, you and I should do this.
Yeah.
We'll do this as part of a story. This is interesting.
Well, I'll put you on this protocol. We'll have to have a little discussion on this and how to do it and what to do, but it would be interesting.
Are you in, Michael?
All right, I'm in.
He's in.
You're in. Oh, goody.
Hey, Cindy, as always, it's great to have you on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely to have you. And look, we'll talk to you about our special thing. We're going to do it. We're in.
Okay.
And for more details, jump onto mindfood.com. Now, Michael, you like to problem solve.
I love a Sudoku, actually.
I just don't get it.
I love it. And
I sit
thing
there
is,
and I just go blank.
The interviews we have done, and people have said, you know, to help your brain as you're getting older, Sudoku is a great thing, but make sure that you choose harder ones so your brain's really working hard. I feel sorry for you, Ben, because obviously, as you age, your brain will become very grey. But on the show today, we've got Rhonda Stewart, who, of course, with Mindfood, has created the fabulous Mindfood CDs. And we've just launching 4 new CDs. In the new series, they're Mindfood De-Stress, Mindfood Super Learning, Mindfood Problem Solving, and Mindfood Facing Your Fears. Welcome to the show, Rhonda.
Hello, Michael and Ben.
How are you?
I'm really well. You
problem
going?
Solving, I love that. How do we do it?
Well, this is an interesting CD. It's really designed at helping us access the fundamental inner resourcefulness that we don't tap into.
And what is that? Because, you know, I guess we all panic in and around exam time or something that we've got to work on, whether it's a presentation for work or whatever. But how do you tap into that?
It's focus. It really is a focus point of direction. So you've got a lot of skills in your life. There are lots of skills that you have in many different situations, yeah?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you were to bring all those skills and resources together in a situation where you've got a problem and you don't know what to do, you'd actually find solutions.
And so the CD, you know, the thing is with the problem-solving CD, I guess it's unlocking that whole potential. You know, when you do worry or you get stuck in terms of overthinking things, you know, it really does help you, I guess, get motivated and more directional in your thought.
Exactly. So it's designed to bring your awareness to the fact that you do have a lot of resources in different situations.
Yeah.
And it just opens up your awareness. You could use them in this situation.
Okay.
And it changes then what was a problem into a solution.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it? In terms of the super learning one, you know, that's a really interesting...
Oh, my super learning. Yeah. I've got to say, it is an amazing CD. I mean, I'm a Leo and we're very happy to tell you what we do well. We love bragging about ourselves if there's an opportunity. And that seriously is one of the best CDs I've ever created. It just seems to untap the learner. And not only in education, because definitely it works in those areas, but also in the body. I've used it with, because we test all our CDs, for Mindfood before they're actually released to the public, and we have a strong sense of how they work. And I've had a profound effects with healing the body. So we've had people with heart attacks, strokes, all sorts of things, and the healing mechanism that the Super Learning CD has brought in has been amazing. I don't know if you've heard of Deutsch. He's an author that wrote a book called Changing Your Brain.
Yes.
Basically, it's the principle that works around, which is it activates and stimulates more activity in the brain. I mean, we use so little of it. And it's like boot camp for the brain. It's getting it moving and active. And that stimulates really wonderful and profound changes.
Yeah.
Not only in our skills and abilities, but also our belief system.
When you're putting together these CDs, Rhonda, do you get insights about yourself as well? Like, you know, there's a lot of you attached to this.
I guess I do, Ben. I love seeing people heal. I love seeing people do better than they are doing, improve and change. So there's nothing more exciting than being in a helpful area, a helpful career.
Mm. And listen, how's the school going at the moment?
The school is going really well. We're opening new classes pretty much monthly now. So if anyone out there is interested in becoming a clinical hypnotherapist, we'd love to hear from you.
Rhonda Stewart, as always, great to have you on the show today. And as I said before, our new CDs are available. Just go to mindfood.com or give us a call.
Thanks for having me.
Mindfood Radio. Smart thinking. The perfect gift idea is a Mindfood magazine subscription. Visit mindfood.com today.
Today, I'm really thrilled to have on the show Shamash Aladina, who is from the UK, but he's coming to Australia to be part of the conference Mind and Its Potential, which obviously Mindfood is involved with, in October. Welcome to the show, Shamash.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell me, how mindful are you? You know, you've written the extraordinary book Mindfulness for Dummies, but when it comes to being mindful, how is it for you?
Right, well, the nice thing about mindfulness is that it doesn't have to be for really long lengths of time. So, you know, traditionally in meditation, people used to practice for 30, 40, 50 minutes or even longer every day. And you can do that with mindfulness, and that's great, and that has a lot of positive benefits. But the nice thing about mindfulness is there's some really short exercises, like what's called a 3-minute breathing space meditation. So, for example, when you wake up in the morning, once you've had your shower and stuff, before you start rushing around trying to get the kids ready to go to school and all that kind of stuff, you could just stop for a few minutes and do a little mindfulness exercise. And you can learn to do it yourself, or you can have a little bit of an audio and play that track.
Mm.
And that can help you to just slow down a bit, connect a bit more with your senses and with your breathing. And then whatever you do next will most likely to be slightly more mindful. And it kind of has a snowball effect. The tiniest changes that you make impact the next moment. And you may not notice it, but it subtly does have an effect. So that's one way. And another way is just to be a bit more conscious and aware of whatever you're doing. So you can do things like traffic light meditation if you're in the car. So when the traffic light goes from green to yellow, rather than speeding up, you can stop and feel your breathing and look at the sky or the trees around, or connect and have a proper conversation with the person you're sitting with rather than just getting too uptight. When your phone rings, you can maybe just let it ring a little bit more and listen to the sound as it's ringing. So you can just slow down a bit in your normal everyday life and be a little bit more conscious and aware.
Can you give us some, say, 3 or 5 tips just in terms of, you know, being perhaps more mindful or energized and focused?
Okay, so first tip would be just for 2 or 3 minutes, at any time of the day, try and sit up as straight as you can, allow your eyes to close, and simply, as you're naturally breathing, feel that breathing, feel your connection with the breathing. And it seems really simple, but what happens is when you try to kind of do that, your mind goes into other thoughts or other feelings. Whenever you realize that's happened, just guide your attention back to the breathing. So that's the first tip I'd give. Secondly, we mentioned multitasking. Every now and then, try and reduce the level of multitasking that you're doing, and maybe just put your phone on silent and just turn off the internet for that time and just do that work that you need to do. That's the second tip, reduce the multitasking. Thirdly, have a bit of quiet time every day. So maybe, in England, we love our cups of tea. I don't know what you like over there. But just take some time to stop and have a little drink wherever it is. And just maybe on your own without getting into too much conversation. If you've got a garden or something, just sitting there. Fourthly, if you can, spend a little bit of time in nature, because it shows that, you know, if you spend time, go for a walk or a run or cycling or whatever it is, in nature without your headphones on, you're going to be a bit more connected and in the moment. It's going to draw your senses out. Obviously, when we were back in the ancient days, we were always in nature, but now a lot of people live in cities, so taking a little bit of time to connect with your local park or a forest or a beach or something.
I'm feeling relaxed already.
I thought he'd fallen asleep. Seamus, thank you very much. They're fantastic tips. And I know, our readers and listeners will enjoy that. And I urge you all to attend The Mind and Its Potential. It's at the end of October. You can go to mindfood.com for more information. And you can see Seamus live and, hear the real man in person. So thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your questions and thanks for your time.
This is Mind Food Radio, smart thinking.
Well, it's that time of the show, Ben.
I'm hungry.
I know, one of my favourite. What are you having for dinner tonight, do you know?
I don't know, but I'm hanging out for one of your Sunday roasts now. You've spoken about it enough, and hey, I think it's time I bring the herbs out of my garden over to your place.
Well, today we're actually talking about lamb shanks, because that's actually a really popular cut. And for a few years now, you've seen it on lots of different restaurant menus. And yep, of course, now they're very affordable, and there's all sorts of different recipes. And I'd like to welcome to the show our food director of Mind Food, Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Now, do you cook lamb shanks at home?
I do. One of our favourite ways of serving lamb shanks at home is the Thai-flavoured lamb shanks, as we do.
Thai-flavoured. It's interesting how that's become so mainstream now, isn't it? Thai food.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely it is. We've got our recipe that we're using is use the lamb shanks. We use the coriander, which is a Thai flavour, and we've got garlic, and we just cheat a little bit. We've got a Thai red curry paste, which we use, and then coconut milk. And, of course, you've got to finish that off with a good fish sauce and lemon juice and some lime leaves.
Does coconut milk do? What's that do?
Well, that just carries the flavour and it makes a good sauce to go with the lamb shank.
Beautiful.
And what do you serve it with?
Well, we've used, for this one, I'm going to serve it with you can serve it with anything. You serve it with rice. And actually, that's a very good point. What do you like to eat your casseroles with, Michael?
I love potato.
Do you?
I do. I love mashed potato. Oh. What do you like, Ben?
I like rice.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that Mediterranean
feel. Well, we often have, jasmine rice.
Jasmine rice.
And it's
nice.
Easy because the kids can make it as well.
I was just looking when you said, let's talk about casseroles. You can have it with pearl barley or you can cook polenta. There's just so many other options that you can serve with your shanks. It gives you just a whole different feel and flavour.
So how would you do it? So what's the process, Michelle?
Okay, well, we'll preheat your oven and then you'll just brown off the lamb shanks two at a time, depending on what fits into your serving dish. And the best thing to do is to brown them off in an oven-proof casserole, because then you can take all the flavours of the caramelisation process and take that right through to the oven, and then you don't lose any flavours on the way.
Mm-hmm.
So we brown off the meat, we remove those from the pan and just sit them on a plate, and then you just pan fry some the roots and the stems of the coriander. And you've got, what else do we put in there, the shallots, the garlic, and cook that around the casserole dish for about 3 minutes until they're soft. Add the curry paste and cook that for another minute until it smells good, and then you pour in the coconut milk and stock and fish stock and lime juice, and then you put everything back into the casserole dish and pop it into the oven for 1.5 to 2 hours.
That seems very easy. Why haven't I ever done that?
It's very easy, and yeah, especially if you've got those herbs you're talking about, all you need is some Thai basil and coriander.
Where can we get more details on this fabulous recipe?
Check out mindfood.com. We've got beautiful winter recipes on there.
And don't forget also to sign up to the daily recipe.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
That's a wrap for today, Mind Food Radio. Another episode out of the way, and really interesting interviews. The beauty segment today was very interesting.
It sure is, but I've got to tell you, I'm off to buy some lamb shanks, shanks a lot, and buy. I love the sound of that Thai-flavoured lamb shank recipe.
Yeah, so
I'm going online as we speak.
Now, of course, if you'd like to get the recipe, you just go to mindfood.com.
That's right, and actually, I'm on now, and there's all sorts of other lamb shank recipes. So
sign up for a daily recipe, can't you?
Exactly, you sure can, and in fact, all our competitions are on the site as well, so just head to mindfood.com.
And of course, if you'd like a subscription, jump onto mindfood.com as well. That's another program out of the way. And of course, if you'd like to hear any of the interviews we've done today or past interviews, go to mindfood.com. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Ben. Have a good week.
Same to you.
Mind Food Radio Smart Thinking was produced in the studio of Radio Australasia. Produced by Ben Starr and Brian Newington and Patrick Kayrouse. Bogart Torelli speaking.